Genesis 10:8. Where we left off our last study. Our precious Heavenly Father, bless your word for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying dispensational truth, and you that have been in the class, we went through the innocence or the dispensation of innocence in the garden. We have went through the dispensation of conscience. In other words, their conscience was awakened, our conscience was awakened to good and evil. And conscience proved that our nature continually chose the evil. And people from their birth will begin to choose evil and sin against their conscience until it matters not to them anymore. They are responsible. They know what is good and what is evil. And of course, the age of innocence is gone, but then the age of conscience is still with us. We still are responsible for our deeds. As we brought out, we received the nature, the sinful nature from Adam, all of us, but we're not judged. We are. We just prove what we are. But we're not judged for that. We're judged according to our deeds. You'll find out that it's always according to your deeds, according to your deeds. So, you are going to be judged for exactly what you did, not for what somebody else did. And so this, that there is, unless I'm saying we are all judged in Christ, you understand that. Our sin is gone. The wage of sin was put on Him if you are in Christ. But then we're not into exactly all that right now. We've went through that. We're going through these different dispensations. And we'll say again that man is saved by faith, grace, alone, through each and every age. Jesus said to Nicodemus, still under the law, a Jew, except a man be born again, that's any man, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, now we have begun to study the dispensation of human government. Up to this time, God sovereignly judged, and He judged that age. But man under conscience, he became evil and more evil and more evil. As we read of the things, and we have read of the things that the human race sunk to before God destroyed the earth with a flood. And then, when Noah came out, and his three sons of that ark, he set up a human government. And ever since that time, any government that went too liberal, as we know, or too dictative, God has destroyed them. They've been destroyed either by the dictator, or when God would always step in and destroy them or allow them to be destroyed. And as we studied that, we realized that God sets up a government. Even in Jesus' time, He, when they would try to get Him to step into the government, you noticed, if you've read it, careful, He would not. Even judging between one man that came to him and said, "My brother's got all the inheritance, Lord." He says, "Who made me a judge over you?" He didn't come to go against the government. He came to save. And at work one time, you know how the Jehovah Witnesses are. They won't salute the flag. They won't, et cetera, et cetera. And this woman was a Jehovah Witness, and she was carrying on with some people, and they came over to me, and I just had them turn to the 13th chapter of Romans. And it says, "The government that are for you to be subjection into that government." If you've read it, it says, "He don't bear his sword in vain." And I told her and them, I said, "Surely, if Jesus and Paul could tell them at that time to be in subjection to that Roman government at that time, surely we can be in subjection to the government that we live under now." And so now this government has been set up. Up to this time, we've had everybody did what they thought was right. And now a government, and as soon as we have this government, we find the opposite to what it was, a dictator. And living under a dictator, they cannot kill enough. They don't kill enough. Stalin never killed enough. He killed everything that was around him. And just before he died, he was starting the cycle of killing. He got rid of all the guys that came up with him. And they knew he was going to start it again. And so it is, and so it will be, of this man, the man of sin, the Antichrist. He recognizes and will recognize only one thing, and that's power. And this Nimrod here, in Genesis 10, we left off. Now these people that have been a generation now out of the ark, Noah and his three sons. Verse 8, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth." Chronicles mentions it again. A mighty power in the earth. In other words, he was the chief person, the chiefest of any man up to this time. "He was a mighty hunter before the Lord." Back in 6:11, it says that their wickedness was before or against the Lord. And this translation is, "He was a bloody man before the Lord. Therefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and his beginning," this is the beginning, the first king that we read about in the Bible was this man. "Kingdom was Babel." And then go over to 5, and you'll read there, or 11:5, and down at in chapter 11, "And the whole earth was of one language and one speech." Verse 6, "And the people said, behold, the people is one." They were of one speech, and they wanted to be of one mind. Let's turn to Revelation 13 now, and read of who this is a type of and what this will be. Let's see, I'll go back to first 13. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, And his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, or the devil, gave him his power and his seat of great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Now, there's many interpretations about the Roman Empire. I personally believe that this man will die and come back. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemings. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blaspheming against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Those are the ones that are left. You understand? And to overcome them, and power, and of course the Jews, the 144,000 that will take the place of these. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Notice, he will have them to take the mark of the beast. Now, this mark of the beast that they will take is the same sealing that you took when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. It was a sealing from that time on. When you accepted Jesus, you were his. You were his child. These will take his mark and be sealed as the devil's children. They will take this mark, whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. In other words, all false preachers that lead you falsely will be taken captive of the same thing they lead you into. Whether it's legality or whether it is something else. He that leadeth into captivity is a leader, will be taken captivity. And he that killeth with the sword or tries to use this to kill instead of life will be destroyed with this. When the word, which is Christ, when he comes, it's the word he destroys them with. And then we have in 11 here, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. Now this is the false prophet, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Here you have the false prophet, and the false prophet, he is the anti-prophet or the anti-priest. The anti-Christ, as we call him, is the anti-king or ruler. These two will make up what Christ, his office, will be in both his appearing. First he was prophet and priest, and then he will come as king and God. First the perfect man, then the perfect God. So these two make up what Christ is. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell within to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that they maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. They will be musicians just like those that withstood Moses. Only unlimited power. The power that Satan offered the Lord Jesus in his temptation, this man, and they will accept. You think of something like that. Full power for 3.5 years and come into it with quite a reigning for 7 years. You think, how could anybody do that? My brother, here a few years ago, there was a young man, I think he was 16 years old. And, of course, you could look at him and know he was on steroids. Because no boy that 16 years old could not have those muscles unless he was on a drug. So my brother, he says, don't you know? And that was about the time that Alzado died of him. And he said, don't you know that they could do this and this to your life? And he said, well, I don't care. If I can stand up there for that 1 hour and be Mr. Junior Colorado, my life can be over as far as I'm concerned. Well, he'd never reached that point yet, had he? When they reached that point, they realized that they've been duped. Huh. And he will, but every bit of power we read here is given to this, and they and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. The false prophet will be the one that prophesies everything and says what to do with everything. And he will say, worship the beast. And to them that dwell on the earth, that they shall make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image. This is the image of the beast. That, and we know by other scriptures, that this image will set there in the temple. Now, they used to laugh when they'd say, well, all the world to worship the image of the beast. You can imagine the Christians in the before television. They'd say, how could that be? You know, we've discovered America, now South America. How can everybody have one mind? Well, you got television now. You can believe that everything that this says is going to come to pass, whether you understand it, whether I understand it or not. God is going to allow this to happen. And we have a hint of who it is. Well, we know who it is, that this person will come up in the seat of the power. We'll read here in a minute how Nimrod foreshadows this. And anyway, he shall cause both small, great, rich, and poor, free, and bond to receive a mark. That's their sealing. Sealed to death. As many, a mark in their right hand or forehand, and no man could buy, sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And anyway, his number. And then, if you'll go to uh, 16:13, you'll see the trinity of them there. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the... Notice this, the mouth, the trinity of mouth here. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, this tower that they were building, Babylon, or Babel, I tried to look up, I said to my wife, I read all about this years ago, and I seen a picture of this years ago. And it's a ziggurat, they call it. And then she said, well, it was in National Geographic. So we got up out some of our old National Geographics. And there in the 1976 one, they tell about what a ziggurat was. And but I still couldn't see the picture. It was an artist picture of this tower. And I don't know where, but it was in a National Geographic magazine. And it was called Babylon. And here in the 17th chapter, we read 17:5, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth. Here is a false woman. This is, of course, Rome, and all your false Protestants are her daughters that make up this mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And then you read their description, and you'll find out, if you read there further, you'll find out that this Antichrist will be the political system at this time. And he will use this religious system to move himself up, and then he turns on the religious system and burns her with fire, as we can read here. And he has put in their hearts that he will burn her with fire. And then they, that's 16, if you got it, 17, 16. This is the political system that will burn the religious system, or the system Babylon. If you'll read there, and it tells you who they are. They're in 15. It says, the waters, everything is peoples. It's souls of men. It's nations, it's tongues. 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, thee shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree to give their kingdom. They'll go with them. The beast, until the words of the God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Billy Graham gets a little recognition in this country, a little, but not all over the kings of the earth. What religious leader, every move he makes, makes the papers? Which one is that? You know which one that is. And with the false Protestant are the daughters. This is the judgment of Babylon. And then you can really read a description in that 18th, and you can't miss who these they are. And of course, 18:4, it says, come out of her, my people. So you know that there's people in that system, and you've met them if you've been around, that are saved. But there will never be any full overcomers that will stay in that system. They will be partakers of the judgment that will overtake anybody, and it's headed up just like the Babylon we're going to read about that they built of all works. It's still the same Cain works he brought to God. So there is only two. And we'll go with looking at 17, now 13. Notice these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Well, what we read back there with Nimrod was that they were of one mind. They were giving their strength to this Nimrod to come to one purpose, to stay one. And what is this new world order? To be one. To every nationality, all colors, they're going to gather and get along and be one. They're going to be one without him. That's exactly what it's headed to. And he, 10:18 of Genesis, he's, of course, Nimrod there is the type of the Antichrist. He's the type of the last world ruler now that we are reading about before the Lord. And notice that the Lord goes down and destroys it. And this thing shall never be again, as Sister Bodhi has brought out on the Babel, the first Babel, or confusion. They called it, Babel means a gate to God. That's what they thought, and they still think it is. They still think that your works and what you do in your lifetime is the way you're going to finally get to God. But God calls that confusion. That is complete confusion. If you think that by your merits and not through the blood that you will come to God. Anyway, that's the type. And then, of course, the Lord comes down there. And we see now, this is the destruction of Babylon. The political system burns her. And then as we go over here to 19, we'll see that who burns them. And here you see in 1920, and of course, between there, between this and that, you will see that the marriage of the Lamb, he marries the real woman now. He must judge the false woman before he marries the real woman. Let's trust that's us. Amen? And in 1920, it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And it always says where they are, not where they burned up, where they still exist. And then, of course, the devil is chained for 1,000 years. Now, going back to 2 Thessalonians, we'll see how this will be accomplished. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's see. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. Okay. Well, I'll start with three. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. We are in that, aren't we? And that man of sin, notice he's the man of sin, and the son, he's a man and a son, the same as Christ, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Paul here gives us the interpretation of the whole thing quick, don't he? That's why I say, if you got time, you better study Paul's epistles. The Old Testament and that, the types and the shadows and the things you see, it's like you watching $1 billion and seeing what $1 billion can do, and it's like, then you have $1 billion. Paul, his epistles are for us. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showeth himself that he is God. Remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery For the mystery of iniquity does already work. In other words, 1 John says there's many antichrists. Then he says, but there's only one certain antichrist. In other words, there are many, many antichrists right now that are against Christ and all his teachings. And it's already working. Only he who letteth, or that is the bride. Paul said over in Thessalonians, when he's talking about the manner of his coming, he speaks of the living. That's the manner, or the living ones that is there. And that is who this is. You'll note that in our day, this letteth is a complete different meaning now. If you'll look at if you have a Scofield, that word means hindrance or will not allow him to take over. That is you. He cannot take over until you that are overcomers are gone. And you're the ones and the only ones that are holding this back until he be taken out of the way, or the full-grown sons. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Here we have it again. They give their mouth. You realize what words are? You realize what truth is? Do you realize that in the beginning was the Word? In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God? Same person. He created everything with his words. There isn't anything that cannot resist to obey him when he wants to. You can resist his words to your own hurt, but not really. And he will consume this one with the mouth of his words, the great words that they were speaking, the blaspheming, and with the brightness of his coming. Here a few years back, I noticed on TV when they were up in Greeley, the Broncos were practicing, and they had this Upchurch. He was kick return man at that time. And they had him on the sports section. The sports announcer said they were in this place, and a lot of college kids, and they had a guy that looked like Upchurch. And he was in there telling them that he was Upchurch. And he said, Upchurch walked in. Do you understand? The brightness, what a fake when you see the real thing. With the very, here he is, the real one. And he will come, and he will not tarry at this time. With the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after, this is the who he will destroy, the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now going back to Genesis 11, we'll go on with this. This, and I'll go with 11, this is the human government now. What had happened up to this time, and when he ended with Noah, the command at this time to Noah was replenish the earth. Well, they decided that they weren't going to replenish the earth. That was their direct, or Nimrod, they would become one. Of course, we don't have to replenish the earth because it's mainly replenished or over-replenished, as some feel. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now this tower that they're going to build up here in the fifth verse here, if you were going to try to build a tower to heaven, you build it on a mountain. Because they could see, look out on a, that they were a lot higher as far as being up in the sky on a mountain. You can look out there and see that. This is not the meaning there. This was going to be their heaven. And as we said, your archaeologists, they call this a ziggurat. If you've read the National Geographic on these, and I have a dictionary, it doesn't show this ziggurat, but I have a, and probably you do too, where all the bricks of the wall, they still have them over there. And this is where Iraq is. And what this was, up in this tower, they had the zodiac, is what they had up there. There was a wall, and it showed the artist's picture. It was a temple, a dome on it. And you walked around, and they had the zodiac painted around it. And astrology, they found that these were carried to every place in the world. And this is where astrology started, was in this temple. And I read another place, it had the fish and had the mother god. What all do we have in that? You see, and then through the rest of the New Testament, Old Testament, you'll find out that God said, and they worshiped the host of heaven. And they worshiped the host of heaven. That's what he calls it, or all these images. Now, up until this time, we don't read of idolatry. But here, now, we read, there might have been, but there's no proof, there's no writings on idolatry, just that men were wicked. They were godless, lawless. But now they come under one head, which the earth, and you know that that's what they're wanting right now, to come under this one head. So they said one to another, let us make brick. Notice their substitute. And the greater you make your counterfeit, the better you can pass it. What is the greatest counterfeit? She is. She's the mother of the greatest counterfeit. You ask her. You ask any of them. Do you believe in the Trinity? Of course. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Of course. Do you believe Jesus was the Son of God? Of course. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? Of course. Do you believe you're going to heaven? I don't know. Huh, you've been in it. You're trusting the masses, the tradition, the counterfeit. So they said, let us make brick. They substituted. And in over there where this is, there isn't any stone anyway. They say in that where they built this, they said they had to even get the slime. It would have had to have been 100 or so miles away. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, come on, or go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us, this is the purpose, let us make brick, let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad. Back in 9:1, it was a direct disobedient to what God had started this human government about. He had told them to replenish the earth upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord said, come down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And since I did go over, and I didn't, after last week's Sunday school, it was mentioned to me, the sons of God married the daughters of men, which the Mormons and those try to prove that angels came down and married men, or married the daughters of men. And like Brother Franklin used to say on that, well, if they did, they ended up drowned. It was only Noah and his three sons, and it's direct from Noah and his three sons from Adam. If that did happen, every one of them drowned. Read it. But back, now we have God always answers something. Which the children of who? Here? Men built. Angels. Jesus, of course, said that they're sexless anyway. But it wasn't angels and men. It was the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they will give their entire strength soon to Nimrod, or what he pictures. And they are. There's not two. If you're here without Christ and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God hangs on you. What will come to you unless you accept him? But if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the one bunch, and they are in the one bunch. And they are one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, like God says, nothing. Nothing will stop them. And nothing will ever stop them or keep them except hell and the lake of fire. Let them out a billion years, they'll still be the same. They're one. We're one. Thank the Lord for that. Aren't you glad?